The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Rescue Worker, this community of Jesus apprentices that are trying to be like Jesus, loving and serving like Him. As this community, we have a motto, the motto for Jesus apprentices, and the motto is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and you must love your neighbor as yourself. That is the way that will guide us to be like Jesus, loving like Jesus and serving like Jesus. We are on our 13th week of the series of this journey of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. 13 weeks. I praise God for that. And on this week, we have a very important memory verse. A memory verse that I appreciate is Luke 6, verse 40. Students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained will become like the teacher. It is important for us to see Jesus as our teacher, the kingdom, as what we need to live, the principles and the values, and be like Jesus, be like the kingdom, living these principles and values that we are studying of loving the enemy. And this love will not lead me to judge other people. It's only through this perspective that I can become like Jesus. And we know, for us to understand the proper meaning of the kingdom and about the king, we need the Holy Spirit. We need to have a connection with God. We need to have a fellowship with Jesus. We need to come before them every single day. We need to have this relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we know the beautiful promise of Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and will find grace to help us when we need it most. We can come to God. We can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We can have fellowship with Jesus Christ. And as we have this experience with them, we have the assurance of grace and mercy. Grace and mercy to deal with our faults. Grace and mercy to understand God's will. Grace and mercy to apply God's will to our lives. And grace and mercy to share God's will to others. That is so crucial. So at this moment, I want to give you 1 minute for you to reflect, to ponder, and place yourself before God so you can have this fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And ask them guidance. Guidance for us to understand verse 39 of Luke chapter 6. So take this time to connect with God and ask for His guidance. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for bringing us as a community of the rescue worker, of apprentices of Jesus. Thank you for this opportunity to read your word, to hear your voice, to follow Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to see the blessings that you have reserved for us today. Give us the grace and mercy that we need for today, Lord. Lord, I pray for healing. I pray for forgiveness, for restoration, salvation to everyone that is listening to my voice. In Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. We are studying the Sermon of the Plain. What people usually refer as the Sermon of the Mountain in Matthew 5 to 7. And the Sermon of the Plain, more than just wonderful teachings, Jesus is revealing who God is, His kingdom, and the way that the apprentice of Jesus should live according to the image and likeness of God. God is a merciful God. He's a loving God. Therefore, I need to love people, no matter who they are, no matter if they are people that are opposed to us, hating us, excluding us, mocking us, or even cursing us. We need to love those that don't think like us, behave like us, that are not part of our group. We need to love everyone. It's a merciful love. And this merciful love will not allow me to judge people, will not allow me to give, to label people, to give quality to the person. This love will help me not to impress certain identity to a person. Oh, this person's a liar, this person is a thief, right? To give them a quality, or even to judge the intentions of their heart, because we cannot do that. This love will help me to be merciful with the faults of others. Therefore, I will not judge them or condemn them, but I'll forgive them and give mercy in an abundantly way. We are studying this expression of actions that are based on who God is and who we are, because we are created in the image and likeness of God. And I know it has been a very powerful lessons to reflect and to contemplate, and sometimes challenge to apply, but we need to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ and follow His way, the way of the kingdom. And now we come to verse 39. And verse 39, for some people, it's a kind of a new section. It's breaking the message and presenting a new topic. And I think one of the reasons people see that is because they cannot see the connection between why would we start reading verse 39 with the previous message. But I think there's a way to connect. And maybe it is not a new section, but it is a different way of Jesus teaching the love for others and avoiding judgment. But let's go there. Verse 39. Then Jesus gave the following illustration. Can one blind person lead another? When they both fall into a ditch? What we see here, it's a parable. That is the first clear parable that Jesus shares in the Gospel of Luke. Yeah, he has used illustrations before, but here is the first time that this illustration, it's called a parable. And here on my version of the Bible, the New Living Translation calls as illustration, but the idea it's a parable. And what is a parable? A parable was a educational or a teaching technique to help people to go and reflect upon a lesson. So parables were used on the Greek-Roman world. They were used in, by the Jewish rabbis. The parable, it has not an end in itself, right? The parable itself is not the main goal, but the lessons and the process to get to these lessons that are important. And that's very crucial for us to understand, because some people, when they see a parable, they try to see the elements of the parable and try to create even a theology based on the elements of the parable. But the parable has not an end in itself. It's the process of thinking and leading to a conclusion. So more than a conclusion is the process to get there. And those elements are important for us as we consider a parable. Okay? Parables, and when Jesus used them, the majority of them were to illustrate who God is and the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus used parables to illustrate God and his kingdom. The parable was something that a student would take with him as a homework to reflect upon the parable and to reflect the possible applications and interpretations of the parable. For that reason, we see sometimes Jesus, after he shared the parable in a, let's say, open environment to the multitudes, he coming to the disciples in private and explaining the parable. All the times we see in the Gospels, the disciples coming to Jesus and said, okay, Jesus, we have been thinking about that parable and the possible applications and interpretations, but tell us, what did you mean as you shared that parable? So, you see, the parable is an educational or teaching tool to help people to contemplate more and more what he's talking about. And here we have a very simple, let's say, parable with two rhetorical questions. And it's very interesting because there is such, let's say, model of two rhetorical questions, where the first rhetorical question is a no and the second answer to the second question is a yes. And here we have, right? Can one blind person lead to another? No. Right? One day both fall in a ditch? Yes. Right? So there's a model that Jesus used that people were familiar with, okay? And here, a point that I want to guide or try to make to you, to present to you. You see, here, about this parable, we don't have Jesus giving us the answer or giving us the interpretation or even elaborating from this parable. And because of that, well, since the parable was a tool for making people to think about the lesson, there are many interpretations out there. What I can tell you is, well, if you go and have, let's say, if we had here 10 Bible commentaries of the most reliable scholars on the book of Luke, and maybe scholars that are expert on the Sermon of the Plain, on the Sermon of the Mountain. I can tell you that if we had 10 books here, or 10 scholars here, we will probably hear 10 different perspectives of this parable. And now you may ask, okay, but among all those, what is the right one? which one should I pay attention? For sure, when we are thinking about interpreting, we need to take in consideration the context, which one is aligned with the context, even maybe with the illustrations used and all that. But even though you could have multiple interpretations. And you know what? Our way of thinking, this Greek mentality that sometimes we have, this Hellenistic framework, doesn't resonate well with multiple outcomes. We are more like, this is the right one, and because this is the right one, this is the wrong one. We are more a binary mindset or framework of processing information. Well, if is that is the correct possibility, the other is the wrong possibility. And then I try to defend my idea that I believe that's the right one. And I try to show the weakness of the other possibilities because mine is the right one. And it is important to mention to you that in the Hebrew mindset, that didn't work in such a way. They were okay with multiple right answers or no right answer at all. Let me give a simple illustration to show this conflict of our mindset and, let's say, the Hebrew and Middle East mindset that we have here in the Bible, per se. Who is the bride of Jesus Christ? So, if you're somehow familiar with the Bible, you probably have heard this metaphor, this illustration, that Jesus is the groom, and Jesus has a bride. So who is the bride of Jesus? Well, when I ask this question, the majority of people usually say, well, the bride of Jesus is the church. We are the bride of Jesus, based on this parable that Jesus taught about what Paul said. Yes, and I can tell you, yes, the Bible presents the church, the people, as the bride of Jesus. However, if you go to Revelation 21, the first verses, what you see is John, the Revelator, presenting the New Jerusalem as the bride, Jesus being the groom, and the church being the guests of this wedding. So Revelation 21 presents the New Jerusalem as the bride. So let me ask you, who is the bride? The church or the New Jerusalem? Who's right? John or Jesus and Apostle Paul? You see, we have this dilemma here now. Okay, which one? And in the biblical mindset, we don't have this this dilemma, this issue. And why? Because both answers are okay. Who are the bride? The church and the New Jerusalem. And that's it. It's resolved. For then is okay for you to have two answers, two outcomes, or more than two, or no one. Do you see? So this binary mindset framework is a very has its roots on the Hellenistic way of thinking and the way we have today. And if this one is right, all the others are wrong. But here we have a different perspective. And that is important because, as we study here,
we can have multiple interpretations of this parable, which many of them can be right. Because the question here is not what is the right or the wrong, is the process of thinking and applying this message. So many authors or scholars see here maybe Jesus making an indirect attack, let's say, to the Pharisees, saying, hey, the Pharisees are blind to who God is. They don't see the kingdom of God. They don't see the love that must be inclusive and love the enemies. They judge people. They don't see the love that will extend and not judge people. Therefore, they cannot lead you. You need to have someone that is your teacher that can lead you on the right direction. Otherwise, the blind person that don't see God, that don't see the kingdom, that don't see the love of God, that don't understand that we should not judge people. We need to understand that if they cannot see that, how can they lead you? And that's a very plausible interpretation. And I like that interpretation. And here comes the question for you and for me at this moment. The person that is maybe guiding you spiritually, your spiritual mentor, is he or she someone that is presenting the kingdom? Presenting God as a merciful God? Is his teaching bringing healing? Bringing unity? Bringing unconditional love? Or is he or she guiding you to segregation, to hating people? You see, sometimes as I'm browsing the Christian programming, right, on the internet or in TV, I come across some teachers that they are preaching hate, preaching judgment, preaching segregation, hurting people. And in my humble opinion, they are not presenting what God says here. So don't follow their direction. At the same time, the way you think, the way you see, the way you relate to people are bringing unity, healing, love, avoiding judgment, or is a way of bringing segregation, hurt, judgment? So, should you follow your way and lead people to that way? You see, the parables are able to make us think and apply. And I have one more way of thinking. And maybe I prefer this one. Because the previous one mentioned about this idea of wrong teachers. And maybe Jesus is not making his point yet against the wrong teachers. But could be the case. I like to understand the idea is I'm a blind person.
I cannot see even my faults clearly. I cannot reason with the true inclinations and desires of my heart. I just can't. I just cannot see myself clearly. I have so many blind spots. And if I cannot discern myself properly, how can I go and discern others? How can I go and judge others? If I do that, I'll fail. I'll fall in a pit. You see, we cannot discern people. We can maybe discern their actions in relation to the law of God. Say, yeah, this action is not in alignment here with God. And in a merciful way, I can approach that person. What I can do to help you here? Do you perceive that this action, this way is not in alignment with God? Right? In a merciful, kind, being, not judging the action per se, right? Like Jesus said. But even though I can discern the actions in relation to God's will and God's law, I cannot discern the person. For this reason, I cannot, let's say, label that person, right? Oh, this person lack with the truth on this circumstance. Let's say he lied. Oh, therefore, this person is a liar. So therefore, I will not consider, pay attention to what he has to say because everything he says is a liar. That's a very, very simplistic way of thinking, but unfortunately, most of us operates on that way, right? And Jesus say, no, don't do that. You're not supposed to judge people, label people, and condemn people to that mindset of yours. No, we cannot do that. We can even discern the actions, but we cannot discern the heart. We can see the appearances, but we cannot see the inclinations and the heart, the soul of people. So, yeah, we are blind. So if we are blind, we are not allowed to judge. We don't have the means to judge. And if I judge, I'll go against the will of God. I'm going against the mercy of God. And we have been reading this Bible verse so many times. Luke 6:36. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. So if I judge, I'm not being compassionate. I'm not being merciful. And that will guide me to a pit, to a destruction. So no matter the interpretation, the reflection that you make upon this parable, you need to keep in mind that the main message here is love. Unconditional love. That from this unconditional love emerges mercy and compassion. A mercy and compassion that are given and distribute to everyone, to those that love us and those that don't love us, to those that think like us and those that don't think like us, to those that behave like us and to those that don't behave like us. This compassion, this love, should not allow us to judge and condemn, but should allow us to forgive and give. So, you may have many other interpretations, and I hope those interpretations are in alignment with the context. But even in the context, we can have a few. But at the end of the day,
It is about love, being merciful, being like the Father. And being like the Father is who you are, because you were created according to the image and likeness of God. That's where you experience the fulfillment of life, because you were created according to the image and likeness of God. So at this moment, I want to encourage you. I want to say to you, love. Show mercy. Do justice. That is the heart of the kingdom. Don't let people, yourself, lead you to a way that will not represent who God is, what His kingdom is all about. But embrace a way that will show that you were created according to the image and likeness of God. Therefore, you need to behave like God, loving all, being merciful. Are you able to discern? Are you able to see the decisions and the changes that you need to make? I pray that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes as I ask Him to open my eyes. And let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you for your grace, your mercy. Thank you for this message. The message to love all and not judge, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us to do that. Help us to lead people to live like that. Help us to be more like you. Forgive our sins and be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go to the questions for reflection. And here they are. What is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? In what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? Well, may God bless you as you reflect on this parable, as we reflect ways to understand God's love, His kingdom, and to present to others the love of God. I hope to see you tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll be studying the verse for memorization of this week, right? Luke 6:40. And we'll continue this understanding, this study of God's will for us here on this earth. May God bless you, and I hope to see you tomorrow.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.